You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
All right, so The Blessed Life. This is a new series of messages. We're kicking off, and you'll see this in the next 4 or 5 weeks. We're going to be talking about this. What a way to kick off the year. I don't know about you all, but man, blessing is important to me. I love blessing. I pray it over my kids. I pray it over my home and my family. I pray over you all. I prayed it over Flip and Share last week, and some of y'all weren't here for the announcements. Man, think about this: $12,500. It's our first fruits for this church, and we apply that towards the cause, towards a cause. But you guys stepped up $12,500 from a pancake breakfast and through our regular tithes and offerings. That's just amazing to me, and truly. Really, this church is a church that is about generosity. Some say, well, what is this Flip and Share all about, and where was this going? Every year, it's going outside of the church. But this year, we felt very compelled to use it for what we needed with the 60,000. There's 60,000 cars that drive by this building every day. For those hurting, dying, empty, lost people, those people come in, those that are unchurched and out of church, come in and experience that life-changing relationship with Jesus, right? And so that whole idea of creating more space and opportunity for life change. You're going to be hearing more about this, and it's called our Grow Initiative because we really feel passionate about having a space for our youth. Right? When we planted this church, we said for our children that they're going to have everything that they need, clean, safe, practical space for them to learn and for them to feel safe and for them to be, you know, to just hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? And we did that. And we said that we were going to be on concrete floors before they go without. And that didn't happen. You know, God provided bountifully, right? And now we have this need for our youth. And Becca, and through her leadership, and Josh, and through others, on Sunday nights, the youth meet, and we need designated space for the youth that the adults can use, okay? And so anyways, we're looking to remodel or make that space available for them, and also, as I mentioned earlier, this is the last winter, folks. Come Hades or high water, right? We are going to figure out a way that we no longer see our breath, you know? Smelling breath is one thing, but seeing breath's another, right? We are not going to see our breath in that atrium again. And why is that? Many of us that attend here, we have that relational connection, right? So that functional issue is not a big deal to us, but it's a big deal for people who come in for the first time. And it's a big deal for folks that need to experience community through life groups. We can't use that space. We need to be able to use that space. So we're going to do it at a high level. We're not going to put Band-Aids on it. We're going to fix it like it needs to be fixed. And we're asking professionals to help us get this thing fixed, right? So we're going to do it right and do it the way that God wants us to do it. This is his house, and we need to dedicate that to him, right, as we minister to people. And this is for community. It's not about us. It's about them, right? And we need space for our life groups, more life groups, and among other things. So I just say that to say that you're going to be hearing more about our Grow Initiative. The Flip and Share was the first part of that. And in the weeks to come, we believe that God is calling us to really step up in a big way, and we're going to have opportunities to do that. So the blessed life. What is the blessed life? You know, blessing is kind of a church word in a lot of respects. And I think it's one of the most misunderstood words that you hear in Christendom or in the church world, right? Blessed or blessing. What is that? And I think it's often misunderstood. I think that it's maybe even at times been misused. I think that we at times fail to see it for what it really is. But here's what I want you to know about blessing and bless. The word blessing means this. It means supernatural favor. That's what blessing means. So when I pray that God's blessing would be upon my kids, or God's blessing would be upon my home, or God's blessing would be upon my work, or God's blessing would be upon the Shelter Community Church or upon you, what I'm praying is that God blesses us in a supernatural way. That's what I'm praying for, right? Because the truth is that we can only manufacture, or we operate within the limits of our own strength. And within our own strength, there is significant limitations. You hear what I'm saying? There's significant limitations. And I believe what God wants to do is blow those limitations away so that we can experience the fullness of God, and that we can live bountifully as He's called us to live and as He's called us to walk. Look, so I'm just saying, I want to ask you this question. The blessed life. Now I'm curious, and there's no, you can't answer this wrongly, and I'm just throwing it out there. Those of you who are here physically, and those that are here on Facebook live stream this morning, just hit a like signal or raise your hand. If how many would say that God has blessed you? Raise your hand. Yep, I believe that. I believe that. I believe that we've all experienced God's blessing. How many here would say, and there's nothing wrong with this, how many would say, I would like to be even more blessed than what I am now? You know, and when I say blessing, I'm talking about blessed in terms of more time, blessed in terms of greater relationships, blessed in terms of a greater sense of purpose and meaning, blessed on my job, on my calling, blessed with more financial ability and resources. I don't know about y'all, but I raise both hands, right? Yeah, come on now. Hum now. Hum jigga jigga, right? I hear that. Preach it, Ryan. Yeah. We'll give it the old hack. You know, right on, Ryan. That's right. So here's what I want to say. We're all in the same boat here, and that's what this blessed life is about. And if you would like to be more blessed, there is one passage that would speak directly to you. And here's that passage. It's in Acts chapter 20, 35. And we see it. And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to what? Receive. That is how you live and walk with the blessed life. This is not something that Ryan just pulled out of thin air. This is something that Jesus stated. This is something Jesus was trying to teach us and trying to get across. I remember this. I remember when I remember just this past year when the hurricanes hit in Houston. And I remember this. I remember that the Lord gave this idea that I was going to take my pickup truck and we were going to put a couple skids of water and haul that down to Houston. There's just this picture I had. And then I thought, you know what? Why would I do that? It just doesn't make sense. So I took my pickup truck and we went to the U-Haul place. And I took a Facebook picture of that U-Haul, this U-Haul truck. I got an estimate on what it was going to take to pull that trailer. And we were going to fill that trailer up. We're filling the bed of my pickup truck, and we were going to drive that down to Houston, and we were going to go down there and make a difference, right? And it wasn't like 2 days after I made that post and that call for all of us to step up and all of us to give that I got this call from an Atlas van line driver. And his wife said to me, Kelly says this, Chris and I want to drive our tractor trailer down to Houston to make this difference. And man, a part of me was like, what? Because it would be pretty embarrassing if the truck pulled up and we had maybe a couple skids of water, right? Call this down there. And I'm thinking to myself, God, how in the world are we going to be able to fill up a tractor trailer? I'm just thinking, Lord, I'm thinking scarcity. I'm thinking, Lord, how are we going to be able to do this? And the end result, and we're going to talk through this just for a little bit as we go forward. But what ended up from a back of a pickup truck to a small U-Haul trailer turned into 30-some thousand pounds of goods that you and other businesses and other churches brought forward that we carried down to Houston for Houston Relief. A couple skids of water to a 54-foot truck that could hold 33,000 pounds. Interesting. I believe that that's the kind of supernatural favor that God wants to release through our community, through you, and through all of us. I believe that God wants to release that kind of blessing. Blessing beyond what you and I are able to manufacture, what you and I are able to do. I believe that God wants to bless and he wants to pour himself out through a community that has a heart of irrational generosity. Are you here with me today? Say, right on, Ryan. I like that. I'm not being sarcastic, man. I'm being for real. I believe this. I believe that God wants to release that through us in a powerful way. I think this is where we really miss it. I believe that we really get lost in some of this. We limit the blessing God wants to pour out upon us. And today, I wanted to share this with you because here's the thing, the challenge, and I'll talk about this, the challenge and the pull and where you get pulled back is this idea of scarcity, this idea of God. If I had it, I would fill up that 54-foot truck. If I had it, I would do it. But God, I just don't know how in the world. I just don't have it. How in the world? And the fear of all of that, right? So let's move forward. In Proverbs 11, 24 through 25, this is powerful. Here's what it says. It says, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. It says in 25, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. I love that word, refreshed. Beth and I were at Chick-fil-A yesterday, and this 70-plus-year-old woman, she comes over to us, the sweetest lady that you could ever put your face or eyes on. And she looks at us, and she says, are you guys ready for me to refresh your drinks? And I'm like looking at Beth, and Beth's like, ma'am, we can do this. You know, it's okay. We feel guilty for, you know, asking you to do. She goes, honey, it's my job. And I just want to help, you know, I just want to be basically a refreshment to us. The lady didn't need to work. The lady is there because she understands and has this heart of generosity. And as she takes our large teas and stumbles back to get us what we're drinking, right? She takes her time and gets down on the kids' level and is talking to these kids and just giving from a heart of service and a heart of generosity. That is what it's all about, folks. God, help me to be that way. What we see is generosity versus scarcity. And within us, there's this tug of war. On one side, oh God, we want to be generous. Oh God, we want to fill up that 54-foot truck. Oh God, we know that those people in Houston need help. But oh man, if only I had the resources to be able to make that happen. Oh, if I had it, God, I would give it. And inside us, there's this tug of war that we deal with, right? Scarcity, I want to say, scarcity is not just rooted in selfishness or in greed, but scarcity is also rooted in fear. And I'll tell you, I read through these scriptures and I'm thinking about the Shelter Community Church. And if there's issues with us, it is not out of selfishness or greed, because you are some of the most giving people and your hearts are good. And God has blessed us beyond what I could ever dream. I think, however, that tug of war between us and that thing that most of us deal with is not pulling us back because we are greedy. It's pulling us back because we have fear issues when it comes to giving. Fear that we will suffer loss and be in need if we're too generous. Fear. Folks, here's the deal. We see this giving principle weave throughout Scripture. And some of y'all are here for the first Sunday. And I just want, and there's multiple people here for the first week, by the way. Thank God, right? Praise the Lord. If you're here for new, we welcome you. And we want you to know, look, you got a free pass today, man. This is not in any way, shape, or form directed towards you. This is directed just towards the community, right? Because there's power in this. And if I have one fault... Hang on, we got a situation here up front. There we go. If there's one issue or one struggle that I deal with sometimes, it's the fear of being able to communicate a message like this. You understand what I'm saying? Because the truth, but when you look at Scripture, all the way through Scripture, you see this thread of generosity. You see it in the Old Testament. Shoot, in the Old Testament, they used to get together and gather and have celebrations and parties and pancake flippers and celebrating, not really, but I'm playing, celebrating, right, like we did last week with our flip and share, celebrating giving. The feasts, the parties, the celebrate, they were so excited, and that's what they did. And I believe that God is calling us to, what is that? Is it Red Hot Chili Peppers? Give it away, give it away, give it away now, right? Give it away, give it away. You know, I always dreamed I could be one of those white guys that move like that, rap like that. Give it away, give it away, give it away. Whatever. I think that's Red Hot Chili. Is that Red Hot Chili Peppers? Yeah, okay, thanks. So you know, I just believe that if they got anything right, the Red Hot Chili Peppers got that right. Right? There's joy in giving. And you just want to say, give it away, give it away, give it away, right? You just want to do that. Look, 2 Corinthians 9:6-11. Here we go. It says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Do you know what cheerfully means? Cheerfully means you were here first service, not fair. Oh, you weren't. Okay, my bad. My bad. Actually, it's not just happily, Miss Sarah. It is hilarious is what that word means in the Greek. So it's like, oh my gosh, Ryan's giving another giving message. Right? Oh wait, there's that box. Woohoo! You skip over there and put the money in the box or whatever you're giving. You know, that's what that means. It's like, oh my goodness, that's what that word means. God loves a person who gives cheerfully, who gives in a way that they can't wait to give it away again. Give it away, give it away, give it away. Right? They can't wait. Verse 8, and God will generously provide all you need. He will provide all you need. This is the word of God. This is not, you know, you can't make this stuff up. God says, give, basically, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and they give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Praise God. Verse 10, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then the bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity. Yes, you will be enriched in every way, so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So to God, things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. It's continuous, the ripple effect, and what comes from irrational generosity. And I pray that within this church, this is the kind of DNA that we have. This is the kind of people that we are. We give it away. The more we give, the more God will bless in our giving. So in the next few minutes, I want to just share, before we get out of here, three different mindsets. Three different, and you're going to be able to identify with these mindsets. Because we all experience, at different times, you'll see it. But here's what I got. The first one is the bag mindset. The bag mindset, the basket mindset, the barn mindset. Look, here's the deal. The bag. You see it in Haggai 1:6. It says, you have planted much, but harvest little. You eat, but are not satisfied. You drink, but are still thirsty. You put on clothes, but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes or in bags filled with holes, is in another translation. The bag. Look, here's the deal. The bag. Many of us have this bag mindset, and the bag mindset, look, it's we all experience that. It's rooted in scarcity, and we say to ourselves, if I had it, I would give it. How many have said that? I have. Man, I would love, if I had it, I would give it. And the struggle that we deal with the bag is man, we get so much, we earn a monthly, and then stuff happens. We want to give, but man, our car breaks down, or our appliances are out, or things fall through the crack. Things happen. Our basement floods. Right? You see stuff happen, and it's like you're, there's holes in the bag, and you have a little bag, and every month you fill it, and inevitably something happens. You guys know what I'm talking about. This thought, the thought that we have is there's not enough. And then the spirit of fear sinks in, and it causes this scarcity mindset, this scarcity. That's what the bag mindset is. It's about scarcity. There was a guy in the New Testament. And his name was Judas. And Judas carried the money bag. And Judas was with Jesus, one of the 12, right? And this immoral woman came to Jesus. Jesus was sitting on a chair, and he's sitting there, and this immoral woman comes, and she gets down on her knees, and she takes a bottle of perfume. And in that bottle of perfume, it was worth 1 year's wages. And she cracks open the bottle, and the perfume goes all over Jesus' feet. And she does this as an alabaster, or as an offering to the Lord. And what did Judas do? Judas erupted. What in the world are you doing? Right? He flipped out because Judas has the bag mindset. And the bag mindset ultimately led Judas to betray Jesus for 30 shekels of silver, right? That went into the bag. Look, the bag mindset limits us. God wants to operate, and God will operate outside of the bag. The same thing happens with people today. Look, here's the truth, guys. And I say this in the most loving way I can say it. When people don't give back the tithe of 10%, as scripture shares and discusses, they are more concerned about what is in the bag than obeying and honoring God. Are you with me here today? I would love to give, but the bag has holes in it. We have to buy Christmas. Things are tight. Scarcity attacks us in different ways. Fear sinks in. And so that's the bag. That's the bag. And I don't care who you are here today, we have all experienced the bag. Now let's look at the basket. The basket. This is the person who believes God is an abundant God and we can give freely. We don't have a bag mindset. We have a basket mindset, and we have more than enough because God is an abundant God. Look, here's what it says in Deuteronomy. It says, your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your full baskets and breadboards, say it with me, will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will what? Be blessed. This is the basket mindset. And I love in the New Testament, you see story after story of the basket principle and how God blesses, and how Jesus tells stories of the basket and how it's pressed down, and you know, and just how it you can't press it down. It just expands and grows, and so much so like what we see when the little boy Jesus preached too long, kind of like I'm doing today, and the little boy comes forward, and Jesus says, because he says, let's find these guys, all these people that are here, let's feed them. And the disciples in their scarcity says, there's no way we can feed all these people. And this little boy comes up with a basket and he says, I have these fish and I have this bread. And here, Lord, take it and multiply it. And what did God do? What did he do? Folks, he didn't feed the 5,000. You hear what I'm saying? He did not stretch that for the 5,000. It was 5,000 men plus women and children. You understand what I'm saying? It was men, women, and children. There was 10,000 to 15,000 that Jesus fed that day through the heart of generosity with that little boy, through the basket that he brought forth. Folks, I don't know about y'all, but man, I want to live in the basket. I want to be able to give and have that kind of generosity. There was a lady named Nita Harmon. And this time of the year, Nita would come forward early on in Shelter's years. And she would say, Ryan, I want to bless the church. And she would write a check to the church, to this church, out of generosity for us to move forward and share the gospel and do what we needed to do. Literally every year for consecutive years, blessing us in amazing ways. And there's been many folks like Nita to do the same thing. Here's the deal, folks. God wants you to know that he blesses us in a big way, so much so that it's moving past the bag, bringing us to a point by faith that we begin to carry the basket, or that develop this basket mindset. Then we experience the barn. And here's the barn. Verse 8, the Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses, your barns, with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. Folks, when you begin to give, God begins to pour himself out in an incredible way. Just like for the Houston hurricane. I'm thinking pickup truck, maybe a U-Haul trailer. And I'm thinking, oh goodness, how in the world? I just wanted to do the U-Haul trailer. And then she comes forward with this tractor trailer. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how in the world, God? If I had it, I would give it. Bag mindset. And I'm worried and I'm fearful that we're not going to be able to make use of that full truck, right? Thinking in my own strength. And what's God do? God fills up that truck, tractor trailer, through many of you, fills that tractor trailer up. You know what? Here's the truth. If I didn't have such a bag mindset, the truth is I probably could have been thinking, you know what? God's not just going to fill one tractor trailer. He's going to fill maybe two, maybe three, maybe four, maybe five. Perhaps, I believe this, I held up God's blessing. Here's the deal. One phone call I made to Jason Stam. Jason Stam gets a hold of the Dayton Food Bank. We pull up with a tractor trailer. We could not load everything they wanted to send to Houston, folks. Do you get what I'm saying? Think about that. The same principle that applies with what we were trying to do in Houston, I believe applies through us at times, where we just don't believe in the supernatural favor. We put limits on what God wants to do in us and through us. God, help us. Help us to live and believe in the barn mindset. Here's the deal. God wants us to know. He wants us to know how much. He wants us to know and understand that he wants to bless us. He wants to pour himself out on us in ways that we cannot imagine or believe. I'll close with this. In Luke 16:10, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Look at Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Folks, I believe that God wants us to understand and internalize and get past the limitations, limiting beliefs, and the lie-based thinking, knowing that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when you begin to give, God trusts you with more. You hear what I'm saying today? He trusts you with more. So, again, I can't tell you the last time, and maybe this is probably my scarcity. Terry, I need to get with you on this, you know, fear-based stuff, fear-based thinking, and bringing messages like this on Sunday morning. But here's what I really believe. I really believe this, that if we don't share this, we're doing people a disservice. You understand what I'm saying? If we don't learn, I grew up understanding that, man, I had to give to support the work of God. And when I gave, God moved and worked, and he gave me back what I gave, more than what I gave. And not only that, but I got to be a part of incredible, incredible mission and the joy of experiencing and seeing God work, bringing life change to people. So here's the question. The question is which mindset will you have, or do you have? The bag, the basket, believing in the barn. I think that God wants you and wants me to understand that there's no limits to what he can do in us and through us. Father, I pray, God, for supernatural favor. I pray, oh God, that you would come and help us. Lord, we rejoice and we're so thankful for the gifts that we have seen and the giving that we've experienced. And Lord, help everyone to know here, this staff here at this church, we're all bivocational. We're in the same situation. We deal with the same things that everyone else here deals with. We tithe and we give, and we know the tug of war and the scarcity mindset. We struggle with that just as everyone does. Help everyone to know that, man, that you truly bless and you move forward those of us, or those that experience this idea of generosity. So, Lord, I pray that your blessing would be on this church and your blessing would be upon these people, and that, God, that you will help us minister to our youth, and that you will help us, Lord, with first-time people coming in and the idea of the need for more space and opportunity for life change, God. The idea of our atrium and the limitations we have with the temperature out there, God. Lord, I pray that you would help us with what space we have to make good use of it. But more than anything, outside of this church, if this church is not the church for folks that they relate with, take them to a place where they can, and where they can pour out, and where they can give and experience the blessing of that. Lord, I thank you for all my friends that are here. Thank you for those that are watching on Facebook live stream. And I pray that this series would make a difference in people's lives, the blessed life, understanding what that supernatural favor is and what it's all about. So, Lord, help us to have a great week. Help us to be safe on these roads. And help us, God, to experience you in deeper, more profound ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.